The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the daily Kisser Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kisser365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Mendy Stern.
We're in the middle of Hilchos Shabbos, in the middle of Simin Pei. Some of the melachos, the forbidden works and activities that are forbidden to do on Shabbos. We are up to Sif Zayin. Chardel v'tamcha, mustard and horseradish, ushar mini tibur, and other types of foods that you use as a dip. Shaloi nosam lehem chaymetz mivayjem. You do not put vinegar into them before Shabbos, which means, let's say you had mustard powder. And in order to make the mustard dip, you would put vinegar into the mustard and mix it. And then you would have the liquidy mustard, or same with horseradish. Also, in Litim, Bohem Meshav is El Bishin. You're not allowed to put the vinegar, the liquid, into the horseradish or the mustard or whatever else you may happen to be mixing, except with some, it has to be an unusual manner. Tehainu, that means, what's the unusual way in which you put it in? She'itim t'chila sa'chemetz v'kli, you should first put the vinegar into the vessel, into the utensil. V'achakach, and afterward, yitim l'techo yisachad l'yatamcha, you should put in the mustard or the vinegar. So that's one halacha. Number two, v'loya asenu b'lila ova, you may not make this into a thick mixture. Ela yishpoi chemetz harbi, you should pour a lot of vinegar so that the mixture should be more liquidy, should be a looser consistency, as opposed to a more firm consistency like dough. The gamlo ya'arvu b'kaf, kedaymi, you're not allowed to mix it with a spoon or something similar, the normal way in which one would mix it. Rather, you should use your finger. You should shake the container until it gets mixed. Now, the issue we're dealing with over here is the malacha of mush, which is the malacha of kneading. So one is not allowed to take many small particles and combine them, bind them together through the medium of some type of binding agent, like a liquid, which is what is done when one kneads dough, one has a flour, which is a lot of little particles, and one binds them together with the water, which is the kneading agent, which is the binding agent. So here you have the mustard powder or the horseradish, grated horseradish, and we put it in the liquids, and it'll bind all the particles together, and that will be the problem of the malacha of kneading. So we are taught that if the resulting mixture is of a looser consistency, then the result is only forbidden rabbinically. Whereas if it's a firmer consistency, such as was forbidden, midiraisa, it's a Torah prohibition. Therefore, if one is going to make a firm consistency, then it's going to be forbidden no matter what. Because you can't, once you combine the ingredients, you have, according to many paiskim, you have already transgressed a prohibition against kneading, and that's going to be a problem. And you're stuck even doing it with a shinui in an abnormal manner. The rabbis didn't permit that when we're dealing with a regular Issa D'Oraisa, regular Torah prohibition. However, if you're making a looser mixture, which is not a Torah prohibition, so then the rabbis teach us that if you do it with a shina, you do it in an unusual manner, they permitted you to perform the act of kneading in an unusual manner. And therefore, there are two things you have to do unusual. You have to combine the ingredients in an unusual manner, because the combining the ingredients themselves is a form of kneading, because that's the beginning of the process. So therefore, you have to combine the ingredients in the opposite manner that they're usually combined. So too, you have to mix the ingredients in an abnormal manner, and if you shouldn't use a regular spoon, regular mixing motion with a spoon, you should use your finger or shake the container, and other presidents brought down that one could also mix in a crisscross manner, meaning you draw the spoon back and forth, back and forth, as opposed to regular circular motion, the way one would normally mix. Sifches. Perish and imsu tarazion, if there are fruit which are found underneath a tree, That's an apple tree, and you find apples underneath that tree. Asurim afilo b'tilta, they're forbidden even to be moved on Shabbos. Shem enough, maybe they fell down today on Shabbos, and fruit which was connected to the tree. Well, when Shabbos entered, if it falls off, it has the status of mukfel, it's forbidden to be moved. The chayin kol perishet halakum, all fruit that is found by a non-Jew, and usually a staphic, if there is a possibility exists, is a reasonable doubt. Shem enifush, maybe they were picked today, they were separated from the ground today. They're forbidden even to be moved. Again, because fruit that was connected to the ground, the onto the Shabbos, and therefore it was impossible to get to them without doing a malacha, without doing a prohibited act of harvesting. So even if the fruit gets removed in a permitted manner, it falls off by itself, a non-Jew takes it off, it is still muktzah. It is not allowed to be moved at all. And in parentheses, he says, meaning, what if you know that for sure that this fruit was not harvested today, but it's possible that it was brought from outside the tchum being the maximum distance a person is allowed to walk outside city limits on a Shabbos, as will be discussed later on. So if you know that this fruit was not harvested today, however, it's possible it was brought, it was delivered to this non-Jew from the outside of Tchum, Sayim Kaman Sim Sadi Hei, says he's hanging there in the laws of Tchum, the Ketzer discusses it. Siftas. Also in Leodais Devash, on the Chubu B'Kavash, you're not allowed to take down honey in the honeycomb, honey from a beehive, which is, still attached to the beehive, and the honey is still inside the comb, and it's connected to the beehive. It's forbidden to remove the honey from that beehive. And also, when Rasik Chalas Devash, and you're also not allowed to cut up or to smash the honeycomb, the wax, which has the honey inside it, even if they were separated, they were severed from yesterday, from before Shabbos, from the beehive, still you're not allowed to extract the honey from the honeycomb because it's similar to extracting juice from a fruit, which is a malacha of nefarik, which is a offshoot of the malacha of dash, which is threshing, and therefore one is not allowed to do that. If indeed you did not crush the honeycomb before Shabbos or cut the honeycomb before Shabbos, as I had the vash hazav stam b'Shabbos also mehem b'Shabbos also, then the honey which indeed flows out on Shabbos by itself naturally is forbidden to be eaten. About the vash hazav the kveris, but the honey which flows in the beehive that you, if you had crushed the honeycomb before Shabbos and you allowed the honeycomb, you left the honeycomb in the beehive, so then the honey which flows out is no longer considered connected to the beehive and is permitted to be removed from the beehive. However, the honeycomb itself, which is still connected to the beehive, would still be forbidden to be removed from the beehive. Sifyot. Perish in his pazir v'makim echad v'baisei v'chatzir. Fruits that were scattered in more or less one place, they're more or less together, whether it's in the house or whether it's in the courtyard, mutal kapsam, you're allowed to gather them together. Avon nispazir achatinu v'achatinu, if they scattered one over here and one over there, meaning they're scattered far apart from each other, diiko tircho kapsam, it is a bother, it's difficult to gather them together. Also kapsam, you're not allowed to gather them with teichasal into your basket, because that's what's called uvdu dechol. It's a weekday type of activity. It's the normal way you would do it during the week. It's a difficult activity, and therefore it is forbidden to do it on Shabbos. Hello, Malakid Vechel, you have to pick it one by one and eat it. And there's a question in the place when the Shuvah brings whether you have to indeed eat all the fruit you pick up from the ground, the fruit you're not planning on eating now, you have to leave on the ground, or as long as you don't put it into a basket, it's sufficient. And it's okay to collect the fruit as long as you don't do it the way you would normally do it during the week, which is to collect them all in a basket. And the simple reading would seem to be that you have to actually eat it, but the many Paiskim who are lenient, and they allow you to pick it, to collect all the fruit as long as you put them into your lap or the like, and not into a basket. Now, this sif is not really discussing the malacha of me'amir, which is the malacha of gathering together the stalks of wheat in the field. And that malacha applies when you gather things which fell in their place. So therefore, in the situation of the kitzer, where it's scattered in the house or in the courtyard, and the fruit didn't grow there. So it's not the malacha of me'amir of gathering together, rather it's only a possible problem of the lechel, the weekday activity. If, however, you have what's an apple tree in your garden, and the apples scattered around underneath, even if you know for sure that all the apples had fallen off the tree before Shabbos, you're still not allowed to gather them together. That would be the malacha of me'amir of gathering the fruit from the place where it fell, from its place, and that would be a separate prohibition, not mentioned over here in the Kitzer. Sifir Aleph. Kidneys, being legumes, such as peas, or kudaimer, or something similar, shehem b'kli posam, shekar and shavitin, or shavitin, that's in their pod, it's in their peel, which we their shell, their husk, which we call a pod. So, for example, we have peas in a pod. If the pods themselves are still moist, and they are still fit for eating, so any type of bean which is comes in a pod, and the pod itself is edible, it's still green and moist, and you can eat it. You're allowed to open up the pod and take out the beans from inside. To have a kemafir eichel me'eichel, because it's like separating one food from another food. I mean, it's like you have a piece of meat and you cut it in half. So too here, you have a food. The food has two parts. It has the outer part, it has the outer part, the inner part. And you open it up, there's no problem, because you're just like cutting a piece of food in half. But if the outer peel, the pod, has dried out, it's no longer fit for consumption. Also, you're not allowed to remove the beans from inside the pod. You can open it up to remove the beans, because that is the malacha of dash, the malacha of threshing, which is removing the inner kernel from the outer husk. And so too here, you're removing the inner edible food from the outer husk, which is the pod, and therefore it is forbidden. You're not allowed to remove nuts from the outer green shell, which is the shell that is around the hard nut shell. That is also forbidden. And so too, you're not allowed to remove sesame seeds from their shells. So all of these are similar to dash, or they are really the malacha of dash, the malacha of threshing, which is extracting the inner edible part, inner edible kernel, from the outer inedible husk. However, if the nut is already out of its outer green shell, you just have the hard shell around it, then it's clear from the paiskim you are allowed to break it and extract the food from inside. And the paiskim discuss why that's permitted, what's the difference between cracking the shell of your walnut to get out the food, or removing the piece from the pod, or for that matter, removing the entire walnut with the shell from its outer green husk. And one explanation is that the malacha of dash, the malacha of threshing, is a malacha which is done normally in the field. That any part of the process of what they do to this food in the field before it gets to the end user, before it gets to the consumer, that's the malacha of dash. If, however, it's common for this activity to be done by the end user, by the consumer, such as the hard shell of a nut, that they don't shell the nuts. Well, it's common that they don't shell the nuts beforehand. While some do, but it's certainly common that the nuts are not shelled beforehand. They're presented to the consumer in their shell, and the consumer, he shells it. So that's considered part of eating. It's not considered the malach of threshing, because it's not something which is done in the sort of quote-unquote in the factory, in the processing stage. It's not the processing of the food. Rather, this is the eating of the food, and this is not considered the malacha of dash, and that's why the hard shell is permissible to remove the hard shell of the nut, whereas it's forbidden to remove the soft outer green shell, because that's something which is done in the processing stage before the consumer gets to it. Sifyud base. Also, in Lischad Peres, Lutzerach HaMashkin, it's forbidden to squeeze fruit for the purpose of their liquid. Any fruit You're not allowed to squeeze if you want to drink the juice. V'lechein also mischein lemonin, and therefore citronin, and if we're not allowed to squeeze lemons, v'teich hamayim into water, and last it's mashked shekari lemonade, in order to make the drink called lemonade, because when you squeeze the lemons into the water, you're extracting the juice, which is a malacha of mefarik, which means extraction, which is a tolda, it's an offshoot of the malacha of dash, of threshing. Here also you're extracting the inner juice from the outer fruit, similar to extracting the kernel from the husk, and therefore it is forbidden to do that. However, the place can teach us that if you squeeze liquid into a food, it is permissible. So therefore, if you want to squeeze lemon onto onto fish, and the vast majority of the liquid is going to be absorbed in the fish, you want to flavor your fish, that's okay, because we say that the liquid which comes out has the status of a food, and it's like cutting your lemon in half, which is permissible. Similarly, or therefore, the advice can teach us, if you want to make lemonade on Shabbos, and you first put a lot of sugar in the bottom of your cup or your pitcher, and you squeeze the lemon into the sugar so that the vast majority of the liquid, or the majority of the liquid, gets absorbed in the sugar, then we treat the liquid as a food. It's like the sugar itself, which is a food and not a liquid, and not a drink. And afterwards, you could then mix this in lemony sugar with the water to create your lemonade. Feel limpsites pre the piv yeshvesim, and even to suck out the juice from a fruit with your mouth, there are those who forbid it. And the Mishnah Berurah says that while proper that one should, that even if one is going to be strict about this, it's still permitted, according to everybody, to suck out the juice if the fruit is completely in your mouth. I mean, let's say you pop a grape into your mouth and then you suck out the juice inside your mouth, that's certainly permissible. Here we're talking about you're holding the fruit outside of your mouth and you're just sucking the juice from inside of it. Those places would say it's forbidden. At least by grapes, and the same rule would apply to olives also, because grapes and olives, when one squeezes out the juice, that is a Torah prohibition. And therefore, we're more strict about grapes and olives, and if one should be extra careful, and should not rely on the lenient opinion in this situation, and you should not suck the grape or the olive and throw away the grape or the olive. Again, if it's in his mouth, that would be permitted, even by grapes and olives, and the other types of fruit. And while there are those who are strict about it, the Kitzur seems to say that there is room to rely upon, and it's okay if one rely upon the lenient opinions. But if you don't want the liquid just coming out of the fruit that you're squeezing, it's mutter to squeeze them. However, the Mishnah Berurah points out that by all other fruits besides for grapes and olives are more strict, as we mentioned before, and therefore you're not allowed to squeeze them, even if you don't want the juice to come out, you just want a dry or grape, for example, still would be forbidden. And therefore, says the Kitzur, mutter mischeid salad, you're allowed to squeeze out lettuce, the gherkin, or cucumbers, or pickles, she'amayim lochem libo, that the liquid is going to waste, and even if it's not actually going to waste, meaning it's going to end up in a plate, you're going to throw it out afterwards. You're going to spill it into the sink. You don't want to use the liquid. You don't want your pickle so juicy, for example. So that's okay to squeeze the pickle, because you're not squeezing it. You're not squeezing it in order to drink the juice. Sif Yud Gimel. A woman is not allowed to express the milk from her breast into a cup, or into a pot, the tonic has been on, then to nurse her child, let's say from a bottle with this milk, because that is also the malacha of, it's an offshoot of the malacha of dash, of threshing and extracting the milk from the person. She's allowed to express the milk from her breast into the mouth of the child, and or the child should want to nurse, and will then grab on and start sucking by himself. That is permitted. We also she's not allowed to express some of her milk to squeeze it onto something for some type of medicinal purpose. It's understood by some that there are some illnesses or sicknesses that could be cured or ameliorated by some mother's milk being squeezed onto them, being expressed onto them. In the case where there's no sakana, there's no danger, like tzairi seirin, there's no extreme pain, so it would be forbidden. But if there is extreme pain, for example, the mother is in pain because the child is not nursing, and the milk is paining her greatly, so then one should consult the rav. But there certainly are ways to express the milk, and either with some type of shinui in an abnormal manner, or in a way where the milk is going evil, it's going to be wasted and not going to be used, and that would be permitted for to alleviate the extreme the pain of the mother. You're allowed to put congealed fat or oil on a hot food, even though the shuman, the fat, is going to be melted. And the Mishnah Berurah explained it's only if the majority of the fat is going to be absorbed in the food. If, however, you're going to have a big puddle of the fat, then one should not do this because of the Yisud Rabbanim, the rabbinic prohibition against mailing, against creating a new substance, and here the fat was a solid, you're turning it into a liquid, and therefore it should not be, you're not supposed to actively make it into a liquid, turn it into a liquid. And it continues, Ashelag borrowed Amen Raskin Asibiadayim, snow or hail or ice, one is not allowed to crush them by hand in order to make them into water, in order to break them into little pieces, in order that the liquid should fall out, that they should melt, they should get liquid from them. Because again, this is the prohibition of Maimlid of creating a liquid from a salad. And the Kitzur is differentiating that by the shuman, by the fat, since you're not actively making it liquid, you're putting it on the hot food, and then it's by itself turning into liquid, that's okay. Whereas in this situation, you're actively crushing the ice and making it liquid, that's worse. And we said that the Mishnah Berurah is more strict by the shuman if he's going to end up with a large puddle of it. And it's going to be clearly liquid. But it continues the kitzur, you're allowed to put the ice or the snow into a cup, which already has wine in it, and mayim or water, so you can put an ice cube into your drink. And the ice will melt by itself. You don't have to worry about it because you're not actively making it into water. You have to be careful in the winter time. You shouldn't wash your hands with water that has snow or ice in it, because we're worried that maybe you're going to then rub your hands together and you're going to crush the part of the small pieces of snow or ice and make it into water. And if you do wash your hands with water that has pieces of snow or ice, you should be careful. You shouldn't press the snow ice between your hands. You shouldn't be crushing them and making them into turning them into water. You're allowed to break ice. The well is iced over, or some the water source is iced over, and you want to break the ice in order to get to the water underneath. That's permitted because your purpose here is not to extract the water from the ice. Your purpose is to get to the water underneath. And to urinate into snow, it's preferable to be careful not to do that, in a matter of possible, because if you do, then you are turning the snow into a liquid, which is not optimal. If you're stuck, then it is permitted to do it, because you have no intention, you don't no interest in turning it into liquid. But if you don't have to, better to not do it. That one should also not urinate into clay, into mud, or into soft dirt, because in both those cases you are performing the malacha of misha, of kneading, because the liquid mixes with the dirt and becomes more of a paste, and you're combining the particles of dirt with the liquid, and therefore it's preferable to be careful not to do that, even though it's not your intention, you have no interest in it. However, you are going to end up doing it, and therefore it's preferable to be careful not to do it. If there's food mixed together with, literally means waste, means that which you do not want, you're allowed to select the food that you want from the waste that you do not want. But you're not allowed to select the waste and part you do not want from the part you want. And even when you select the food, you're not allowed to use a kli, which aids in the selection process. Dafka, yeah, you have to use your hand or a utensil, just so you shouldn't get your hand dirty, that's also okay. But if the utensil is aiding in the selection process, that's going to be forbidden. V'dafka mashu tzarech lechol miyad, and even when you're selecting with your hand, you're selecting the food that you want to eat, it's only if you want to eat it right away. But if you want to eat it, if you want to keep it for a later time, and that is forbidden, and a person should, anytime thing within the same meal is considered miyad, is considered right away. And also anything which, as long as it's close enough to the meal that it's within the amount of time necessary to prepare for a meal. This size is, let's say you're having a Sheva Brachos with 20 people, 30, 40 people, and it takes 2 hours to prepare all the foods and the salads, etc. for that meal. So within that 2 hours is considered miyad, but if you're having a meal with two people and it only takes you 20 minutes, so to prepare 2 hours in advance would be too far in advance. And if you're selecting, even though using your hand and selecting what the food you want from the psalas, it would be forbidden. And even foods that you want to, both foods, two foods, there's no real waste, but you want to select the food you want to eat now and the food you want to leave over. You have to select the food you want to eat now, not to select the food you want to leave. Because the food you want to eat right now, that's considered food. And now what you want to leave, is considered waste, even though it's not technically waste. They're both perfectly edible foods. You have your raisins and your peanuts mixed together. Right now you want peanuts, you want to leave the raisins for a different time. So it's certainly food, but as of right now, the raisins are considered waste, and you're not allowed to pick out the raisins and put them aside. You have to pick out the peanuts in order to eat them now. Continues the kitzur. A few liklay shum, maybe it's home, even to peel garlic or onions, and to leave them for a later time, it's also forbidden because of bar, because you selected the peel, which is the part you don't want, from the food, which is the part you do want. And certainly, sorry, I take that back, I made a mistake. That's not the problem. Since here it's impossible to extract the food from the waste, so this is considered a normal way of eating, and you are allowed to actually peel the onion and remove the psilis. However, you have to do it in order to eat it right now. As he says in the next line, v'ne mutter liklai, if you're not allowed to peel, ela masha tzrichem lechem yad, only that which you're going to eat right away. But if you're going to leave it alone, even though you are permitted to peel the onion if you would be eating it now, but since you're leaving it, it's forbidden. And he says in brackets, v'klipa ho yoyna, the outer peel, shalma shum, which is around the garlic, and the saveches, koachamakim, which surrounds all of the pieces, the individual pieces of garlic, yesh lesser lesira, is forbidden to remove that. Afil etzerach achilum yad, even to eat it right away. Mishum lehav nefarik, told him that because it is the malacha of nefarik, of extracting, which is an offshoot of the malacha of threshing, as we discussed before, similar to extracting the beans from the pod. So to here, it's this instance, as we explained before, this is part of the processing and not part of the eating process, so it would be forbidden.